Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're continuing our reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the first canto, chapter 16, How Parikshit Received the Age of Kali. Today's text is 10. Suta uvacha yada parikshit kuru jangale vasat kalim pravishtam nija chakravartite nishamya vartam anatipriyam tataha sharasanam Samyoga, Shaundir, Adade, Suto Vacha, Yada Parikshit Kuru Jangale Vasat, Kaling Pravishtang Nija Chakravartite, Nishamya Vartam Anatipriyang Tataha, Sharasanang sang yoga shandiradade. Suto vacha yada parikshit kuru jangale vasat. Kaling pravishtang nija chakravartite. Nishamya vartam anatit priyang tata. Sharasanang sang yoga shandiradade. Suta uvacha yada parikshit kuru jangale vasat. Kaling pravishtang nija chakravartite. Nishamya vartam anati priyang tata. Sharasanang sang yoga shandiradade. Please chant. Samyoga shandiradade. Suta uvacha yada parikshit kuru jangale vasat. Kaling pravishtang nija chakravartite. Nishamya vartam anati priyang tata. Sharasanang sang yuga shandiradade. Suta uvacha na parikshit kuru jangale vasat. Kaling pravishtang nija chakravartite. Nishamya vartam anati priyam tata. Suto vacha yada parikshit kuru jangale vasat.
Yada parikshit kuru jangale vasat.
Kaling pravishtang nija chakravartite.
Kaling pravishtang nija chakravartite.
Nishamya vartam anati priyam tata.
Nishamya vartam
anati priyam tata.
Sharasanang sang yoga shandiradade.
Sharasanang. Vaishnavis. Yada parikshit kuru jangale vasat. Kaling pravishtang nija chakravartite. Sutovacha Yada Parikshit Kurujangale Vasat Kali and Pravishtam Nijachakarajati Nishamya Vartamati All right, synonyms. Sutta Uvacha. Sutta Goswami said, Yada, when? Parikshit. Maharaj Parikshit. Kuru Jangale. In the capital of Kuru's empire. Abhasat was residing. Kalim. The symptoms of the age of Kali. Pravishtam entered Nija Chakravartite within his jurisdiction. Nishamya, thus hearing Vartatam news. Anati Priyam, not very palatable. Tataha, thereafter. Sharasanam, arrows and a bow. Samyuga, having gotten a chance for. Shaundihi, martial activities. Adade, took up. Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. Sutta Goswami said, while Maharaj Parikshit was residing in the capital of the Kuru Empire, the symptoms of the age of Kali began to infiltrate within the jurisdiction of his state. When he learned about this, he did not think the matter very palatable. This did, however, give him a chance to fight. He took up his bow and arrows and prepared himself for military activities. Please repeat. Sutta Goswami said, while Maharaj Parikshit was residing in the capital of the Kuru Empire, the symptoms of the age of Kali began to infiltrate within the jurisdiction of his state. When he learned about this, he did not think the matter very palatable. This did, however, give him a chance to fight. He took up his bow and arrows and prepared himself for military activities. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The state administration of Maharaj Parikshit was so perfect that he was sitting in his capital peacefully. But he got the news that the symptoms of the age of Kali had already infiltrated into the jurisdiction of his state, and he did not like this news. What are the symptoms of the age of Kali? They are, 1. Illicit connection with women. 2. Indulgence in meat eating. 3. Intoxication. And 4. Taking pleasure in gambling. The age of Kali literally means the age of quarrel. And the above mentioned 4 symptoms in human society are the root causes for all kinds of quarrel. Maharaj Parikshit heard that some of the people of the state had already taken to those symptoms, and he wanted to take immediate steps against such causes of unrest. This means that at least up to the regime of Maharaj Parikshit, such symptoms of public life were practically unknown. And as soon as they were slightly detected, he wanted to root them out. The news was not palatable for him, but in a way it was, because Maharaj Parikshit got a chance to fight. There was no need to fight with small states because everyone was peacefully under his subordination. But the Kali Yuga miscreants gave his fighting spirit a chance for exhibition. A perfect Kshatriya king is always jubilant as soon as he gets a chance to fight, just as a sportsman is eager when there is a chance for a sporting match. It is no argument that in the age of Kali, such symptoms are predestined. If so, then why was there preparation for fighting out such symptoms? Such arguments are offered by lazy and unfortunate men. in the rainy season, rain is predestined, and yet people take precautions to protect themselves. Similarly, in the age of Kali, the symptoms, as above mentioned, are sure to infiltrate into social life. But it is the duty of the state to save the citizens from the association of the agents of the age of Kali. Maharaj Parikshit wanted to punish the miscreants indulging in the symptoms of Kali, and thus save the innocent citizens who were pure in habit by culture of religion. It is the duty of the king to give such protection, and Maharaj Parikshit was perfectly right when he prepared himself to fight. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pacharani Nirvishesha Shunivadi Paschatirishtarani Om Agyana Tamirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmulicham Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtang Shtapitang Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagadatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvatam Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Purjana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakamatangsha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopeshika Pika Kanta Radha Kanta Namaste Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishavanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Pancha Kalpaturubhya Shakripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Dittananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Masari Gorbhaktarinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So it's not at all wonderful or surprising that Maharaj Parikshit has a fighting spirit, because we all have the fighting spirit, every single one of us, since birth. My next door neighbors, you know, Ekaraj and Ananda Bhakti, they have three children. So Arjuna is the first one, and then Mali came a year and 3-4 months later. And they fought bitterly. They're friends now, but they fought like from the beginning. They were just fighting like anything. Too close in age and their personalities, but they fought from day one. Mali was fighting Arjuna from day one. But we all have that fighting spirit. Every single one of us has that fighting spirit. And sometimes with no provocation at all, we want to fight with each other. That is a symptom of the age of Kali. At least in other ages, that propensity was subdued because people were happy. Life was simple. People were happy. They weren't so disturbed. But in the age of Kali, everyone is disturbed, from the richest to the poorest, from the fittest to the illest. Everybody is disturbed about something constantly, and they take it out on each other. Instead of finding out the root cause and making a permanent solution, we simply take it out on each other. I'm not feeling so good today, so I look at Bhakti Rula, why are you looking at me like that? You want to fight? That's Kali Yuga mentality. I grew up in New York, and it's always been there. It's even worse now, but it was always there. You will go out on the street, you're afraid to look at anybody because you look at them the wrong way, they want to beat you up. So that fighting spirit is there in all of us. And why is that fighting spirit there in all of us? Because it's in the Supreme Person of whom we are part and parcel. Krishna has a fighting spirit. But because he's God, his fighting is glorified. And because we're not God, and at least we're not godly, we're supposed to be godly. We're not God ever. We can't, if you're, Prabhupada used to say, if you're not God now, you cannot practice some process to become God. God is always God. And whether in his supposed childhood state or youthhood state or any state, Krishna, God, is always God. We cannot become God. But we can be godly. We're actually by nature godly. And we only act ungodly because we're in this material world. We're in this material world where the three modes of material nature are prominent. Everything is impelled by those three modes. And as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, they're always fighting for dominance. So those who are in the mode of goodness are generally peaceful and not so eager to fight. But it's impossible to remain just in the mode of goodness. If you don't transcend the mode of goodness and become, again, a pure devotee, pure servant of Krishna, then inevitably, passion and ignorance will drag you down. So you may be the yogi type, yogini type. You want to sit down and close your eyes and chant Om and eat only nice vegan food. And yeah, you may have all those nice mode of goodness symptoms, but because You're in the material world, especially in the age of Kali, inevitably you're going to get dragged down. And what is that? Dragging down these four symptoms that are mentioned here. Intoxication. So we see so many motive goodness types. Practically their whole life, but some or other they go to a party, convention, they meet the wrong person, and next thing you know they're smoking something. Or you see, the mode of passion comes in, the mode of ignorance comes in and drags you down from your lofty mode of goodness existence. You cannot exist in the mode of goodness if you don't become a pure devotee of Krishna. It's not possible. Because the material energy is too strong. She's too strong. We cannot, by our own strength, avoid her power. Only by surrender to Krishna. The example that Prabhupada used to use is this Vishwamitra Muni. He was a Kshatriya, just like Parikshit. He was a Kshatriya, administrator, ruler. But because he lost in a battle with Vasishtha Muni, you all know the story, or many of you know the story from the Mahabharata, that he was on tour, came to this place where Vasishtha Muni's ashram was, he and his entire army. And the sage welcomed them. My dear king, please come. Be peacefully seated. I will feed you. And how could he feed the sage living in the forest? So many Kshatriyas, powerful men, big appetite, you can imagine. How could he feed them? Because he had a kamadenu. He had this wish-fulfilling cow. Anything he wanted, this cow would give. So all he had to do was ask his kamadenu to produce prasadam for these visiting Kshatriyas. And she did. More than enough. So the king was impressed. Here is this sage living in the forest, and he can receive me in such a nice way and feed my entire army. How is it possible? And then he discovered the kamadenu, so he wanted it. So he asked the sage, please give me this cow. The sage said, I cannot. She's my companion for life, and I cannot. So the king said, I am your king. I am ordering you to give me the cow. He said, I cannot give you. So the king, then I'll take her. So he started dragging the cow away, and the cow said, my dear master, please protect me. They're dragging me away. There's nothing I can do, but you can protect yourself. So from her backside, this cow generated 10 times more soldiers than the king had. And they defeated his army. And he was so embarrassed and impressed. He said, if this brahmana can defeat me, what's the use of being a kshatriya? Let me become a brahmana. So by great austerity, penances, he became a brahmana. And you know the story. He was sitting in meditation in the forest, eyes closed. And Indra was becoming worried that this former king who is now a brahmana is becoming so powerful, he will eventually take my post. So he sent one of his dancing girls, Menaka, to break this former king, now sage's, meditation. So he's sitting in meditation with the eyes closed. And just by hearing the tinkling of the ankle bells of this dancing society girl from the heavenly planets, he opened his eyes and saw how beautiful she was and fell down. And from that union, Shakuntala was born. So the point is, you may be trying your best, and he was so powerful, trying your best to live a mode of goodness life and follow all the rules and regulations. But if we don't surrender to Krishna, it's not possible to overcome these symptoms of Kali. Intoxication, meat eating, gambling, and illicit sex cannot be overcome just by your strength and determination. In this age of Kali, however, there is only one way to do it, to have the strength, the spiritual strength, to overcome these symptoms of Kali. And what is that? Harinama, Harinama, Harinama Eva Kevalam, Kalona Stevana Stevana Seva Gatiranita. Only by chanting this Hare Krishna mantra can we have the strength to avoid illicit sex, to avoid intoxication, to avoid gambling, to avoid meat eating. Otherwise it's not possible. Kali, Maya's agent Kali, is just too strong. We cannot. Again, you're cruising along, maybe for years, maybe for decades, following the principles. But if you have not really surrendered to Krishna, Maya will make some arrangement by which you're going to mess up. She will do it. So you may be some guy who is determined not to be entangled with women. But if you don't surrender to Krishna, Maya will send just the right package, just the right woman to entangle you. We've seen it happen. So many, repeatedly. You're the intellectual type, she'll send some beautiful intellectual type to entice you. You're the kind who likes to get into, you know, physical activities, hiking, biking, whatever. She'll send just the right hiker, biker to like that. You cannot avoid Maya. She's got everything at her disposal. Every trick in the book. So you cannot, on your own strength, stay out of Maya. It's not possible. You have to surrender to Krishna. And Krishna says that. Daivyesha gunamayi mama maya durachaya. If you want to avoid sinful life, if you want to avoid the influence of the age of Kali, you have to surrender to me. Which means surrendering to the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Because Krishna has come in this sound form. We may not be seeing Shamsundar Krishna eye to eye, but we can associate with Shamsundar Krishna by chanting his holy name, by chanting the Hare Krishna Mantra. So we can judge our level of surrender by how surrendered we are to chanting Hare Krishna and trying to avoid the 10 offenses that we recite every day. Because there are many nowadays, especially the kirtan scene has become very popular. There are many of people who are attracted to chanting Hare Krishna, but they're not doing it as recommended by the parampara. Therefore, sampradaya vihiname mantraste nishpalaspriham. It's not just about chanting. You have to chant following the recommendation of the sampradaya. And sampradaya vihinam, without being connected to a proper Vaishnava sampradaya, mantra stay nishpalaspriha. Your chanting a mantra won't have any effect. And therefore we see so many people, they go to this yoga studio, that yoga gathering, that festival, this, and they sit down for hours and chant Hare Krishna. But then afterwards, they're looking at where's the best pot, where's the good wine, you know. You know, so it's all been defeated. You've chanted Hare Krishna for hours and now you're intoxicating yourself voluntarily. Defeated. Defeated. Prabhupada said there's no question of fall down for a fallen person. And everybody in Kali Yuga is born fallen. Kaloshuja Sambhava. So if you're already fallen, there's no question of falling down. Now you need a process for getting up, for rising up, for transcending. So everybody in Kali Yuga is fallen. And if you don't follow the recommended process strictly for getting up, for transcending, then you're going to stay fallen. Again, even if you take to chanting, and we see so many of this, yes, there is some benefit. You cannot come in contact with Krishna and have no benefit. And if you keep chanting, gradually the desire will come to chant more purely. But we see, though, it can be distracting. When, especially those who are non-devotees, they're not chanting and they come across somebody who's chanting Hare Krishna, but they still have bad habits. Smoking, drinking, whatever. People get confused. This is supposed to be a spiritual process, but you're doing exactly the same thing that my friends do. For real happiness, you go out and buy some wine and get some pot. So my friends are all doing that. So why do I need to chant or follow any? Just let me continue doing what I'm doing if you're doing the same thing. So it's confusing. When people take the so-called spiritual life, but they still have bad habits, it's confusing to the public in general, and it's confusing to neophyte devotees. So we have to be very, very careful. Therefore, Prabhupada would not compromise. Prabhupada came and he said, no. And this is 1960s in New York, where people are into free love and free intoxication, everything free like that. And Prabhupada said, no, no intoxication. And even people who were friendly with the movement came and argued with Prabhupada about this. But Swamiji, you're not going to have too many followers if you're so strict. And I've been to India, and people in India, they smoke pot, and they, and people from Europe go to India looking for the best pot and hashish and stuff. So how can you come to America and tell people not to smoke hash and pot? And Prabhupada said, no, you're already intoxicated. You're thinking you're this material body, and you're thinking that the goal of life is sense gratification. You're already intoxicated. So further intoxication is not required. It's to be avoided. If you want to come back to your normal, healthy state of spiritual existence, you have to avoid these things. No intoxication. Not even a drop. Prabhupada's proud. My students, he would tell people all the time, they don't even take coffee, tea, cigarettes, or to speak of anything heavier. No intoxication of any kind. No illicit connection with women, as it's stated in today's verse. No illicit connection. So, that was another big bone of contention. But Swamiji, I mean, everybody, love. You have to express yourself. It's a natural desire. Prabhupada said, yes, it's natural. So you find one partner and you stay together. That's natural. Not like you see nowadays, they hook up, have a child or two, and then they split up and go hook up with somebody else. And just a big mess. Prabhupada said, no, calm down. Bring the fever down. Material life means you're suffering from material fever, greed, lust, anger, envy, illusion, ultimately madness. So we want to bring the fever down, not exacerbate it. So if you want to bring the fever down, yes, sex life is allowed in marriage for procreation. That brings the fever down. Anything else, you're just making the fever burn higher. And a high fever, we know, is dangerous. High fever is dangerous. So no intoxication, proper to strict. No illicit connection. No meat eating. No meat eating, and which means we have to be extremely careful. Because sometimes you go in the marketplace and you buy some product, if you don't read the fine print, you may be eating some animal bone or something, some animal-derived product. So we have to be very careful. Best thing is, Prabhupada said, grow your own food. Grow fresh, eat fresh. And you'll be healthy and happy. Yeah. Try to avoid, you know, buying all these prepackaged things. But even if you have to buy the prepackaged thing, at least read the labels, for crying out loud. We had a famous case here. I won't name any names, but it was a Sankirtan festival. And the person who was arranging the feast for the Sankirtan devotees thought, ice cream would be nice for Sankirtan devotees. They deserve it. They've worked hard. But why just ice cream? Why just vanilla? Because everybody knew a certain vanilla ice cream from a certain manufacturer was okay for devotees. So this person was thinking, but why only vanilla? Why not French vanilla? So this person bought French vanilla ice cream for the Sankirtan devotees. And lo and behold, one person was smart enough to look at it. French vanilla means there's eggs in it. So at least read the labels before you buy anything. Otherwise, you could be offering something that's not offerable and feeding devotees something that's not, they should not be fed. So no intoxication, no illicit sex, no meaning, and no gambling. No gambling. Sometimes neophyte devotees are tempted. Man, the lottery is up to $500 million. If I could win that, I could do so much for ISKCON. I could do so much. Let me just go out and buy just a couple of tickets. No. No. Prabhupada said no gambling. No kind of gambling. Not even stock market gambling. Because devotees went to Prabhupada with such ideas also. The gold market is taking off. If we would just take $100,000 and invest it in gold, we could make so much money. Prabhupada said no. So don't be over-intelligent and justify gambling that I'm going to use the money for Krishna. Because even if you win, our track record is they don't use it for Krishna. Maybe not win the lottery, but so many devotees have inherited so much money from family members or whatever. Or they worked hard and they were lucky and they made millions of dollars. Generally speaking, they don't give it to Krishna. Because they start thinking it's mine. They misuse it, if anything. We've discussed that previously. Somebody inherits a couple of $1 million and they invest it in some gambling stock market scheme or Forex or something like that. And they lose big time. Because they forgot that it was not their money, it's Krishna's money. No matter how the money comes, whether it's by your so-called hard work or by inheritance or whatever, however you get that money, it's still Krishna's money. It's not yours. And you have to use it for Krishna's purposes. Otherwise, you become entangled. You become entangled. So these symptoms of Kali can only be overcome by Krishna consciousness, by chanting Hare Krishna. And the founder of our sampradaya makes it clear. He says that iti shodashaka namnam kali kalmashanashanam natak parataropaya sarva vedeshu drishyate. He said, if you study all the Vedas, this is Lord Brahma speaking, founder of our sampradaya. If you study all the Vedas, you'll not find a more effective means for breaking the grip of Kali than chanting these 16 names. Iti shodashaka namnam. Kali kalmasha nashanam. You want to break the grip of Kali? You must chant Hare Krishna. Must chant. So now another point from today's verse is about Parikshit being the emperor of the world. We have, unfortunately, even within our own ISKCON camp, some people who don't believe this, that the king in Hastinapur was the ruler of the entire world. We don't have any historical evidence of that. This is just wishful thinking, or some people say like that. But that's foolish on their part. First of all, we follow the Shastra, and the Shastra says that he was the emperor of the whole world. And why is it so difficult to believe? Because in the modern history, we have personalities who conquered almost the whole world, or a very significant part of it, like this Genghis Khan from Mongolia. He was born in 1162. Died in 1227. So he was only not even 60 years old. And in that short period of time, starting out in Mongolia, he conquered practically all of Eurasia, from the Adriatic all the way back to the Pacific in the east. Huge tract of land, very significant, bigger than Africa, bigger than Canada, America, United States, Canada, Central America, and part of South America, all of that combined. Imagine one person being the ruler of all of that. So if in the modern age, what to speak of the Roman Empire, spread practically all around the world, and the British Empire, even more modern, spread all around the world. So if such ordinary personalities, when you think of it, England, the British Isles, it's just a tiny, significant spot on the globe. But they were so courageous and determined that they spread all over the world. All over the world. And therefore, English is the spoken language of choice all over the world. Anywhere you go, practically any little village, at least one person speaks English. So if such persons can spread from one little spot on the globe all over the world, why not the ruler in Hastinapur ruling the whole world? Anyway, that's what the Shastra says, and that's what we accept. But unfortunately, like I said, there are some so-called scholars who don't accept that because there's no historical evidence. And we don't care for your so-called scholarship. We care for the Shastra. The Shastra says that the ruler in Hastinapur was the ruler of the entire planet. And here we have Parikshit. He's the ruler of the entire planet. And now he sees that the symptoms of the age of Kali are coming in, and he doesn't like it. He's not sitting down and thinking, well, you know, people are getting into intoxication, let's legalize it. No. No compromise. What? Somebody's getting intoxicated in my kingdom? Go out and make him stop. Illicit sex, gambling, intoxication? No, not going to happen in my kingdom. So he was preparing himself to go out and fight. And this is a real kshatriya. Real kshatriya means, we know from the Bhagavad Gita, 18th chapter, text 43. Shoryam teja jiti daksha yudye cha pyapalayanam danam ishara bhavasya chacha karma subhavajam. The symptoms of a kshatriya are given there in the 18th chapter by Krishna. Must be heroic, must be powerful, must be determined, must be resourceful. Must not flee in battle, yudye cha pyapalayanam. Not that, you know, nowadays they don't even go to battle. There's no question of fleeing. The so-called leaders, military leaders, political leaders, they sit down at home, like Prabhupada said, and they eat nice toast and butter, and they send all the young men to fight. See, they're not even bad kshatriyas. They're not kshatriyas at all. A bad kshatriya goes to fight and then runs away. These so-called kshatriyas, they're not even bad kshatriyas. They don't even go at all. They stay in their office, in their, you know, vacation homes. Right? Dakas, right? How you say in Russian? The vacation home? They have a name for it. Yeah, a dacha, right. So they stay in their, you know, vacation homes and send the boys out to fight. So this is not, so Parikshit was not one such leader. He was ready to go out himself, armed himself with bow and arrow to go out and fight. Not just send the army. He was leading the army to go out and fight. And we see, even in the modern age, like this Genghis Khan, he didn't just sit back in Mongolia. You know, he was out there fighting. He was known to be a very terrific warrior. So it's only in this modern age, as Kali progresses, that we have so-called leaders, administrators, with no qualities at all, no good qualities at all. None of those qualities. They're not heroic. They're not powerful. They're not determined. They're not resourceful. And they definitely, like I said, there's no question of fleeing in battle because they don't even go to battle. As a matter of fact, they fake their records to show that they went to war when they never went to war. Some of them. Fake military records. I was in such and such platoon and I did such and such. And when you investigate, they never even went to war. So such leaders, we can't have any respect for. I'm sorry. We are respectful of personalities like Parikshit and his grandfather, Arjuna, and his grandfather's brothers, Yudhishthira, etc. So we take it on the strength of Shastra that this Parikshit was a very, very powerful leader of the entire world, and now he's going to do battle with the symptoms of Kali. But we already been armed to fight Kali. Just chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. So a minute or two for a question or a comment. Yes, Rabindranath Prabhu.
Yeah, you mentioned about the stock market being gambling. But is that all kinds of stock? Because sometimes people invest in a certain company or people have retirement accounts and that's invested in various types of stock also.
Prabhupada said stock market is gambling, any kind of stock market, because you have no control over it. The stock market, as we know, is subject to the vicissitudes of the social atmosphere. In other words, if some political disaster happens, then the stock market crashes, or the weather or something, the price of oil goes up, and it's just a big gamble. Prabhupada said, if you have money, print books, buy land, have cows. Real wealth means land, cows, grains. That's real wealth. Because your paper money doesn't mean anything. We've seen repeatedly throughout history that somebody's a millionaire from stock market or whatever, and overnight it's useless. Overnight. They can't even buy something to eat. Because nobody in their right mind who has food is going to give you their food for paper money. That's useless. And that's what happens repeatedly throughout history. So devotees are advised to stay away from any kind of speculative investments. Put your money into something tangible. Buy books and sell them. Buy land and raise cows and grow your own food. That's the real proper use of wealth. Invest in temple expansion. Invest in Krishna's Lord Chaitanya's movement. That is a better way to use your money. First of all, you can't take it with you. So simply to try to increase it artificially. What? So today you're a millionaire, and on paper tomorrow you're a 10 millionaire or a billionaire. It's all paper. It doesn't mean anything. Real tangible wealth is land, cows, investing in a temple community. That's real use of wealth, not any kind of speculation. So they may have so-called blue chip stocks that you're talking about, some companies that seem to be safe. IBM was always the barometer. You can invest in IBM but IBM went down for quite some time because they didn't foresee the modern internet age. They were still invested in what we call in computer language, big iron. These big computer centers and stuff. That was where their investment was. They didn't foresee the rise of the internet and distributed computing. So IBM went down very severely. So there's no such company, there's no such thing as a safe investment, in other words, in the financial world. There is no such thing. It's an illusion. There is no safe company or a safe country even. People tend to invest in the U.S. because they think it's the safest political system in the world. And the reason why, especially here in Southern California, real estate stays so high is because people from Russia, from China, from the Middle East, anybody with money. So they bring it here. So it seems California is a safe bet. The United States is a safe bet. There is no safe bet. Just one disaster and the whole thing can crash.
So, in other words, you say, let's say a devotee has a regular job and he has a retirement account, he should just take all that money out if he can and invest it in something that's actually real instead of keeping the stock market.
Ideally. We're talking ideally here. And I know from experience, my mother, after working for so many decades of life, her retirement fund was mismanaged, and practically overnight, instead of having a very, 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 very handsome monthly income, she had nothing practically. And what can you do? Take those fund managers to court? There is no safe bet. So the best thing is follow Prabhupada's advice. Invest in land, cows, and expanding Lord Chaitanya's movement. Grantara Shriman Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Bhaktivrinda Ki Jai.
Thank you.